Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, the world was seemingly limping to the end of the last decade, and the decade to come was full of great promise. And then the decade of 2020 got off to a roaring start. If you remember back to those very first days of January, we had the Australian wildfires that were ravaging that nation and that continent. All right, 2020, you get one false start, but let's get it over with and get going on to a brand new good decade. Well, then, not too long after that, Britain got into the act as Prince Harry and Meghan Markle decided they were no longer going to fulfill royal duty responsibilities. Britain then promptly left the European Union with Brexit. Here we go. And then in late January, Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi and seven others died in that horrific helicopter accident. In the midst of all of that, we had an impeachment trial, an ongoing presidential election. We had U.S. military action across the world that was very complex. And then there was the Ukrainian flight that crashed. And then on February 11th, the World Health Organization spoke to the world at large and gave that disease a new nickname that we would now know as COVID-19. All of that happened before Valentine's Day. So if you, at this point, staring down the end of May, are exhausted by this new decade, you are right in good company with me and probably everyone across the globe. And then we had last week. Last week, as we watched across the nation, as protests and riots erupted in Minneapolis and protests across the nation following the death of George Floyd. That was, of course, coming far too soon after, or at all after, the deaths of Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery as well. Many other countless deaths have gone on at this time, but these deaths have captured our attention in the nation and in the world. Now, I need to confess that I was late to fully understand what was happening in Minneapolis over this past week as I was myself attending to and thinking deeply about the matters that were impacting our church and the coronavirus. But on Thursday, it became clear to me that we were entering into a new crisis that we needed to speak about this coming weekend. And so I feel called to do so. Now, in this moment, I think it is helpful to hear the words of a pastor and a civil rights leader that I think speaks to this very moment that we're in, even though these words came from 1967. These words come from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and I want to share them with you at this time. Dr. King once said, "Certain conditions continue to exist in our society which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. It has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so, in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these reoccurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention." So as these protests are held in this moment, and just as others have equally rightly exercised their rights to protest other problems they perceive, I can think of protests that I know some of our church members have engaged in recently, and I affirm everyone's right to protest and speak freely. I think it's a beautiful part of our country. I also need to say that I believe that it's sad that elements of peaceful protest splinter off and become destructive. And none of that is right, but neither is the root causes of the protest either. And so just like dealing with the coronavirus in this time has exposed the inequities of socioeconomic and race relations in our country, both near and far, the issues of the past week stemming from the death of George Floyd also have brought to bear again exposure to the inequities of race and socioeconomic inequality in our country as well. Now, I bring attention to these things, and I put them also in the context of an increasingly complex 2020, where we have had so many struggles to begin with, and now we have another set of struggles to deal with that have been present, but are present in a new way at this time. So what can we do as Christians? What can we do as followers of Jesus in a complex time such as that we're in? Well, the first thing I want to suggest that we consider doing is to continue to stand in a long line of Christians who can remind people, remind ourselves, and remind the world that God is not the cause of our sufferings, that God is not the cause of the coronavirus, that God was not the cause of the death of George Floyd or any of the other people who have died unjustly, that God does not cause the suffering in this life. People tend to ascribe things to God that God does not do, and one of the things that God does not do is cause suffering or pain. Now, God might be culpable for these things because God is the cause of existence. And so if someone says to you, I think God is responsible or culpable for these things, you can't perhaps argue with that. I can't argue with that. But we can explain to them that we don't believe that God does not cause these things to happen. Now, we could also say, but like a good teacher or a mentor or a good parent, that God wants us to learn from these sufferings. That isn't to say that God wants them or God caused them, but God does not want us to pass by them either. So that's the first thing I think we can do, is remind people that God is not the cause of sufferings. What's another thing we can do? We can condemn systemic, institutional, and personal racism and prejudice. Again, standing in a long line of followers of Jesus, from those very first days of the early church, one of the things that distinguished both the Israelites and then the early followers of Jesus was their care for the widows and the orphans and those that were exiles in their country. They cared for them, they brought them food, and they helped allow them to live lives that were worthy of God's love. And so we can do that too. We can speak on behalf of those who need to have spoken. We can do this in any number of ways. Now, I want to implore you to please hear what I'm saying and what I think is being said in these times as a religious comment, as something the people of faith could look to. There is so much that we can do as followers of Jesus that will simply help us love our neighbors, both our neighbors near and our neighbors far, before we ever even get so close to the so-called political arena in these things. I think God calls us to love one another, and we are called to help love all people. And so when we think about the ways in which systemic and institutional and personal prejudice and racism come into the mix, let's think about the ways that we as followers of Jesus can engage this. I want to speak to this as a follower of Jesus. I want us to think this through with a lens that isn't political. We want to think this through with a lens that is about faith. This isn't about a left, a right, or a center. This is about being loving. And if we can address the way that we love our neighbors, we can be a part of helping these things happen. Now, I'm not even here today suggesting specific actions. I don't want to comment on policy at this point. I want to simply flag for us that we can condemn these things and then engage in this conversation going forward. I also want to tell you that I am not very fluent in this conversation as well. I lean and look to others to help articulate what is a faithful and helpful way to go forward. And so I just want to say that we want to look at this and ask ourselves, what can we do? What are we called to do as a church? And we'll figure that out, and we'll find our way forward. I do also at this point want to refer you to one of the resources that's available to us as part of a Presbyterian Church USA congregation. And that's a couple of statements in our Book of Confessions, which is part of our Constitution. The Barman Declaration coming out of Nazi Germany, the Belhart Confession coming out of South Africa during their apartheid time, and also the Brief Statement of Faith from 1983. These three documents are the most recent additions to our Book of Confessions, the most timely as well. And they speak to some of these things. They can help us have a better understanding of how to look at these things as a matter of faith and how to look at our scriptures in light of the context that they were written in and in light of the context that those statements help us understand, which is our world today. And the last thing that I want to ask us to consider doing is I want us to consider doing what Paul speaks to in the letter that he wrote to the Philippians, and that is to lead lives worthy of the calling of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this is specifically the charge and the hope and the prayer that Paul has for his friends in Philippi, but it also extends to us today as we find the sacredness of that text to be important to us. Now, Paul is speaking to his friends there in Philippi, and he's encouraging them to live lives worthy of the calling of the gospel of God. Or another way to say that is to lead lives to the standard of Jesus Christ. Now, the standard that Jesus Christ gives to us is one of leading and living lives of love, loving ourselves, loving our neighbors near, loving our neighbors far, and loving God. Now, when we hear that standard, that it's to lead and live lives of love in light of the calling, sometimes we hear that word love and we have a range of things that don't come into our mind. Sometimes we hear love and we think that about that mushy rom-com love, or we think about an affection that we have. But oftentimes in the scriptures, love is actually a verb. Love is something that you can do. And Paul then, in another part of his writings, in the letter to the Corinthians, talks specifically about what love in action looks like. And love in action looks like patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It says in that scripture there that against such things there is no law. And if we can look to that description of what love looks like, then we can find a way to put love into action. And so what I want to suggest that we might consider doing is pick one of those actions of love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Pick one of those in the next week to come to focus on finding a chance to put that into action. Now, you might be saying, well, why not pick all of them? Well, we know that if we aim for all, we'll probably miss. But if we pick one, we'll have an opportunity to put it into action. And I don't know what your specific circumstances are, maybe in this week that was or the week to come, but think and pray on one of those actions of love that you can then put into play in the next week. And if there's anything we know about what has been going on in this part of 2020 is that we're going to have a chance to put love into action in the week to come. And when that opportunity arises, I want to encourage you to exercise patience, or to exercise self-control, or to exercise goodness, or to exercise joy, whatever it might be. And when you do that, you will help the good news of Jesus Christ become more real for yourself, more real in the interaction that you're having, and you'll help the world become the place God wants it to be. Because that's the good news that God gives to us. The good news that we put into action via love is that God loves you, God loves me, God loves this world, and God wants the world to be filled with love, and God wants the world to be filled with all the things that love is and love can be. And God wants all people to experience God's love. And so if you and I, and anybody who might be reading those words of Paul, can lead and live lives worthy of the calling of the gospel, we will help the good news of God's love become more and more of a reality for all people. So in this complex age and moment that we find ourselves in, if we can remind people that God is not the cause of our problems today, if we can speak in a way that helps them understand that as a follower of Jesus, we want peace to be experienced by all people, that we are willing to condemn acts of racism, and if we can then lead lives worthy of the calling that God has given to us, we will help the world become the place God wants it to be. We will be the people God wants us to be. And we will help all people come to experience the good news of God's love for all times and in all places. So Paul's hope for his friends in Philippi was that they could experience a life filled with love. And that's my hope for all of us, that we might experience lives filled with love, and that the world might be a place filled with love for all people. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.